This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis has approved new statutes to guide the Vatican Foundation, known as the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network. According to the statutes, the Secretariat for the Economy has been given the responsibility to approve the budgets and the appointment of the auditor. The task was previously entrusted to the Secretariat of State. Similarly, the foundation has been transformed from being an apostleship of prayer in line with the intentions of the Pope to a universal dimension, putting it at the service of every particular church in the world. The foundation was started in 1844 in France by a Jesuit priest as an apostolate of prayer aimed at young Jesuits during the initial stages of formation. But with time, it expanded to become a prayer apostolate for the mission of the Church. Its youth section, known as the Youth Eucharistic Movement, was born in 1915. The statutes of the foundation have been amended many times over the years, turning it more and more into a service of the Holy See close to prayer for the intentions of the Holy Father. Today, it focuses every month in different languages on an intention for the Church proposed by the Pope, commonly known as the Pope's Prayer Intention. The Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem has issued a statement condemning the Israeli Defense Forces for launching a raid on the Holy Family School in the Palestinian territory of Gaza, killing several people. The attack took place on Sunday. Lisa Zengarini reports.
The raid on the Holy Family Catholic School, owned by the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, came only hours after Israeli forces attacked a UN-run school Saturday, killing at least 16 people and injuring 75 sheltered there, including two UNRWA workers. The incident provoked the outrage of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees at the repeated attacks on its facilities. In a statement released on Sunday, the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem also condemned in the strongest terms the targeting of non-combatants or any belligerent actions that fall short of ensuring that civilians remain outside the combat scene. It said it continues to pray and hope that the parties will reach an agreement that would put an immediate end to the horrifying bloodbath and humanitarian catastrophe in the region. Since the beginning of the war on October the 7th, thousands of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have sought shelter in hospitals, schools and other civilian infrastructure. However, Israel accuses Hamas and other militants of hiding in these places. The compound of the Holy Family Catholic Parish in Gaza, sheltering some 600 displaced Christians, is not new to attacks by Israeli forces in their fight against a terrorist organization. In December last year, an Israeli sniper killed two Christian women inside the compound. Pope Francis and the Holy See have repeatedly urged for the effective protection of civilians in the conflict. I am Lisa Zengarini.
The outgoing Bishop of Rumbek in South Sudan, the Right Reverend Christian Kalasari, has written a letter to the faithful in the diocese, including the clergy and religious, cautioning them against rivalry and any spirit of competition or disunity as the consultative process for his successor begins. Bishop Kalasari was transferred by Pope Francis from Rumbek to the newly created diocese of Bentiu on Wednesday last week, but was asked by the Holy Father to remain temporarily as the Apostolic Administrator of Rumbek until a new bishop is named. In the letter, Bishop Kalasari invited the faithful to accompany the Holy See in prayer as they await a new bishop. Before Pope Francis appointed him to Rumbek in 2021, the diocese had remained vacant for 10 years following the sudden death of its Bishop Cesare Mazzolari in July 2011. When Bishop Kalasari was appointed, he was attacked and shot 4 times in the leg to scare him from taking possession of the diocese. The Catholic Diocese of Sokoto in Nigeria has announced that its priest Father Maika Suleimani, who was kidnapped by gunmen on June 22nd, was safely released on Sunday, July 7th. The diocesan administration extends its thanks to all who prayed for Father Suleimani during the difficult moments when he was in the hands of the kidnappers. Kidnappings for ransom have become increasingly common in Nigeria. The Bishop of Kasese Diocese in Uganda, the Right Reverend Francis Chibira, is one of the Catholic ordinaries in the country who are playing a visible role in the campaign for environmental protection in line with the recommendations of Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si. The bishop has many times spoken in his homilies and various meetings about the need to preserve forests and to plant trees, explaining why that is important. Now he has taken the campaign to schools to explain to children why it is necessary to care for Mother Earth and why Kasese region has several times been devastated by floods caused by heavy rains. Speaking a few days ago in one of the Catholic primary schools in his diocese, Bishop Chibira encouraged children to engage in the fight against global warming through tree planting and the preservation of forests. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in Burundi, Fortune Gaetano Zongo, has informed the United Nations Human Rights Council that insecurity remains widespread in the country and human rights crimes are not punished. He was speaking at the weekend in Geneva. He criticized the Burundian government for tolerating human rights violations committed by different state-affiliated groups, especially the ruling party's youth militia known as Imbonerakure, the police, and the National Intelligence Service. Mr. Zongo noted that the Burundian government had allowed these groups to terrorize people with arbitrary arrests, enforced disappearances, and by spreading intimidation. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Liberia's President Joseph Boakai has announced he will slash his salary by 40%. His office said he hoped to set a precedent for responsible governance and demonstrate solidarity with Liberians. Government salaries have been under intense scrutiny recently as Liberians complain about the rising cost of living. Around 1 in 5 people live on less than $2 a day in the West African state. In February, Boakai revealed the fact that his annual salary was $13,400. This cut will bring it down to $8,000. Boakai's move echoes that of his predecessor, George Weah, who took a 25% cut in his salary. While some Liberians hail Boakai's decision, others wonder whether it is truly a sacrifice given the fact he also receives benefits like a daily allowance and medical cover. The Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, said it was disappointed with the lack of progress in reconciling with breakaway junta-led Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. It said it will make more vigorous reconciliation efforts. ECOWAS Commission President Umar Toure said at the start of a summit in the Nigerian capital Abuja on Sunday that the region risks disintegration and worsening insecurity after the 3 alliance of Sahel states signed the Confederation Treaty. That treaty underscored the junta's determination to exit the near 50-year-old ECOWAS after also severing military and diplomatic ties with Western powers while seeking greater ties with Russia. But ECOWAS says it will develop a forward-looking contingency plan regarding all eventualities in relations with the Alliance of Sahel States. Hundreds of Kenyans on Sunday attended a concert in the nation's capital, Nairobi, to commemorate the people killed in recent anti-government protests. At least 39 people were killed in the demonstrations that started on June 18th as protesters pushed for planned tax hikes to be scrapped and the resignation of President William Ruto. At the concert of local artists in Uhuru Park, youth held placards reading "Rip comrades and we promise we'll keep fighting," while the crowd chanted "Ruto must go." As the protests intensified last month, Ruto scrapped the finance bill, which would have introduced a raft of new taxes that Kenyans say would have raised the already high cost of living. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, the Bishop of Gweru in Zimbabwe, Most Reverend Rudolf Yandoro, speaks to our colleague Sheila Purish on the sidelines of the just-ended first workshop on psycho-spiritual counseling for newly ordained bishops from Imbisa, that is, the interregional meeting of the bishops of Southern Africa. The five-day meeting was held at the Padre Pio Retreat Center in Pretoria, South Africa, under the theme Enhancing Psycho-Spiritual Counseling in the Imbisa Region. It saw the participation of newly ordained bishops from the six episcopal conferences that constitute the regional body. Using the Conversation in the Spirit methodology, the bishops reflected on psychosocial care in consecrated life, the importance of mental health among priests, trauma in ministry, as well as spiritual well-being and self-care.
I'm Bishop Rudolf Yandoro of the Diocese of Gweru in Zimbabwe. I'm here for the workshop that was arranged by Imbisa of young bishops who are under five. I was invited as one of the presenters to give my experience as the bishop, because this is a psycho-spiritual workshop. And, you know, as bishops in the pastoral ministry, we experience different problems, and we think we need time to share our problems and how best we can also deal with our mental health care. So it is very important that we are meeting as bishops. That's why we are here. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us right here on Vatican News. So this is a first of its kind for the Imbisa region to have such a meeting where you bring together bishops under five to deal with issues affecting bishops. And of course, you having the experience that you have as a bishop, what would be your contribution to these young bishops who some of them have just started, not even a year old, and still full of energy and lots of ideas, filled with that excitement of wanting to get in the work and do the work and forgetting to look after themselves?
Yes, as a bishop who is already in the ministry, I'm going to share with them my experience, also some challenges that I have faced so far, and then how I dealt with some problems. And this platform is going to help them how to manage also themselves, self-care. I think that is very important for us, that Sometimes as bishops, we have burnouts, we have depressions, we have stress. I think this is what is being presented here and how to deal with such situations so that we keep on enjoying our work in the pastoral ministry and as shepherds. So I'm going to share with them my experience, also from the background of pastoral therapy and counseling. I think it is going to help them and also help me. I'm going to be helped as well, because there are so many challenges that you cannot deal with them alone. You need others. We have different backgrounds or knowledge. So that's why we are here, to share, to learn from each other, and probably to extend our networking as bishops in the Southern Africa.
Now, you mentioned something there. You mentioned the word alone, and I think of the number of bishops that live by themselves. We find that sometimes the priest was living in community, and once ordained as a bishop, he's now living alone. What are your recommendations to such cases? Because this is not just one or two isolated cases throughout. I mean, we find many bishops who live by themselves, and some of them may find it difficult or may feel lonely, alone, as you said. So what are your words to bishops living in such conditions, and what would be your advice?
My encouragement is that bishops should have somebody, maybe a priest, a young priest, they stay with. It's not good to stay alone. I remember a year ago, we lost an emeritus bishop who was staying alone, and it was due to the chronic disease he had. He was diabetic. So when he was attacked, he couldn't reach out to get some help as quickly as possible. And when somebody had to come to assist him, it was already too late. So he passed on. If he had sought some help before, maybe if he was staying with another priest, you could have helped him in time. So living alone has got some challenges, because you need to share with somebody, you need to interact with somebody. It's very hard for bishops. Like myself, I have asked to stay with a priest, and when I have something to share, I can share with him. He can also bring some experiences, pastoral experiences, and we make a community.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. Any last remarks? Are you looking at having another meeting that will look at perhaps other issues affecting bishops?
I think this is a very good platform we have started here in the Imbisa region. I remember we had such a workshop of pastoral workers, religious priests, sisters, brothers. That's when we had an idea that even bishops need such a workshop, so that we can share our experiences. You have heard about this word, the wounded healers. So we feel that we are wounded, and we also need to be healed. So how do we heal ourselves? Is by interacting with each other, by sharing ideas like this. We get presentations from the experts, and we try to live what we learn. It is so interesting. that now you have seen many bishops are so excited that they are going to get new ideas from each other, and they encourage each other in the pastoral ministry as shepherds.
Bishop of Gweru in Zimbabwe, Most Reverend Rudolf Yandoro, speaking there to Sheila Purish, and that's all for this edition of the African Synod, The Church Alive in Africa Today. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
And now, our feature, Millennium Appointment. Last Wednesday, Bishop Paul Van Kasifiwo of the Catholic Diocese of Queenstown in South Africa and Liaison Bishop for Youth and Young Adults of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference told Vatican Radio that drug and substance abuse among youth in the country was increasingly becoming a serious problem. He attributed this to a number of factors, including lack of family involvement in the lives of young people, peer pressure, poverty, and unemployment. Bishop Vanka was speaking in reference to the appreciation made by Pope Francis on June 26th to the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference for its interventions to address drug trafficking and abuse in Southern Africa.
We have a pandemic, if I were to put it that way. There's a lot of drug trafficking and drug abuse and substance abuse in our country. It started little, you know, before, but now it's even in our schools, in the villages, in towns. It really has blown out of proportion.
In this edition, Bishop Vanka explains how the Bishops' Conference is dealing with the drug and substance abuse on the ground.
Usually, you know, when the youth abuse substance, they abuse it even if you are meeting as church members or as youth gatherings. There'll be a lot of alcohol, there'll be a lot of other substances that they use. But where we have been working now with the chaplain of the youth in the conference and the chaplains that work under him, we make it a point that youth cannot come and abuse anything, be it alcohol, be it drugs, be it even others as well, or bullying others. So they will make sure that they've got to have indemnity form to say that I am not going to do this. I am not going to be drinking here. I am not going to be unruly here. Because if I've got an indemnity form, then I can go home. So we have started doing that. Right now, at the beginning of the year, we had two sets of youth gatherings. One was a pilgrimage for the youth of the conference, where we had about 3,000-something in Benin at the Blessed Benedict Daswa's pilgrimage place. It was a beautiful, even when we were left behind, there was no alcohol abuse, there was nothing. And secondly, we had also the ACTS, that is Association of Catholic Tertiary Students, those from the universities and the tertiaries in Pretoria. Also there were chaplains, they were youth, they were very, very nice, they kept to the rule, they came to do what they are doing. And now next week we're having the chaplains aware again, and the coordinators and the youth in another province. We hope it will be the same because the rule is the same, no abuse of alcohol, even amongst the leadership.
There are some youth who have been addicted in South Africa. Does the church have some program for such people so that they can recover and then come back to normal life?
With addictions and sometimes with those problems, we rely very much to the chaplains, the priest in charge of the area, so that whenever, you know, the youth come and say, I've got this problem, then he can, or the coordinators can, help the individual to say, in that part of the province or in that cluster of the conference, there are areas whereby they can take them to look at their drug addictions and then help. Mainly the big areas, like in Cape Town, we know that the church has chances of sending people to professionals. I'm a rural diocese myself, but then we've got such structures as well when the youth comes up, because there are certain people that we can send him, our own people that we use even in the church to look at the problems of the youth. But it's always a very difficult thing because sometimes they don't come up front until it's too late. And then the healing takes a very, very long time because they've been so much involved in the abuse of either alcohol, mainly alcohol, that's what the problem we have here, and the drugs, of course, but alcohol is the problem. But until we talk about it, until we see that is our ministry as well, the youth will always be having that challenge and will always have to come to their aid as well as the church. In schools, they've got programs as well whereby they look at them and send them to professionals. In many of the Catholic schools that we have, we've got teachers that are taking care of those problems that the kids have. But by and large, the church is for the rehabilitation of the youth.
If you have anything to add on what you have said, Bishop, you are welcome.
The question of youth, we always say when I sometimes talk with them, it's a responsibility for all of us. It can't be that parent, and it can't be that parish priest. It has to be all of us as church members to help the youth in our conference. It has to be employed by each and every one of us, because sometimes I may be able to talk to the youth, but they might not understand me. But if I've got a group of people that help and talk with, they might even come up very, very, very easily to listen to that, and they might take that. So all I want to say is a responsibility for all of us to help the young people in our country and in our church and indeed in our communities.
Our thanks there to Bishop Paul Van Kasifiwo of Queenstown Diocese in South Africa and Liaison Bishop for Youth and Younger Adults of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference. You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am John Baptist Tumusime. In your next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.